Okay, well, he's asked me to do all kinds of things tonight. It keeps changing. Every time I connect with him, he tells me to do something else again. But I do like to share the Word of God first. And so I want to share something with you. I want to just follow on from this morning. And so the message will kind of follow that same theme. And I want to share a message called, Don't Draw Back. Hey, this morning we got you to stand. Having done all, stand. Well, now here's another one. Probably should have come first. Don't draw back. Here's a scripture in Hebrews 10:38. Now the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Now, you notice here it says that God is pleased with faith. What if you think about any relationship, what makes the relationship work is trust. The moment trust is breached, people draw back. Anything that damages trust in a relationship causes people to draw back. So there's the faith that brings miracles and brings the power of God, but there's also a faith which is just trusting God because of who he is. And that's what this is referring to here. The just shall live by faith. In other words, God wants you to know who he is, know his character, and to trust him and stay your course. And then he goes on earlier on in chapter 11, he talks about the different men of faith. He says, without faith, without trusting God, we can't bring pleasure to him. Imagine having a relationship where the person didn't trust you. That's not an intimate relationship. It's always going to have struggles in it. It'll never bring pleasure because they don't believe you're credible and won't commit their heart to you. So in any relationship, if something damages your trust, it will cause a distance in the relationship. Notice what it's saying here. If any man draws back. So he's saying it's possible and it happens that people draw back from God. What does that word draw back mean? To draw back means to withhold what you would bring into the relationship. To withhold what you would bring to actually develop and deepen that relationship. It means also to conceal out of sight. In other words, parts of you are concealed. So yes, I believe in Jesus. Yes, I'm coming to church. Yes, I do this and that. But I've got a whole area I've drawn back and have concealed my heart. We're called to love the Lord with all our heart. So if you hold something back, then it affects the relationship, the ability to walk together. So why do people draw back? I have observed since the COVID season that churches everywhere, believers have drawn back. Some have drawn back so far they're not even walking with God anymore. Some have just drawn back from being in church. And some are in church, but the passion to serve, the passion for God has just gone. You can feel the heaviness that's sitting over them. They've drawn back. And I believe that there's a number of reasons people draw back in the current season that we walk through. I believe massive witchcraft control was unleashed across the world. And to empower it, the media constructed narratives that brought enormous fear. So one of the things that causes people to draw back is fear. Fear steals our confidence. Fear causes us to shrink away from something we ought to be doing. So if you've had any kind of witchcraft, any kind of spiritual attack on you, what happens is you will experience fear and anxiety, and if you don't actually address it and deal with it, you will progressively draw back. I'll look at an example at it in a moment. A second reason that people draw back, and I find this all the time, and it's one of the most common issues for believers, and I found also Jesus spoke in Matthew 24 in the last days, this would be a major issue, and that is the area of offense. To become offended with God, offended with church, offended with pastors, leadership, or whatever, there are many reasons we can take offense. The Bible says, those who love your word, nothing shall offend them. In other words, the word offense means to stumble or to trip. Something that someone said or did caused you to trip up. And if you don't get back up and get walking again, it will affect your journey. Offenses accumulate. Offenses build walls in our heart. When you put a wall up in your heart because you're offended, you automatically have drawn back. I've noticed with people in church, you can kind of watch them. You can see the offense develop because they're in the front row or near the front row, and then suddenly they're about row 4, and then they're about row 6, then they're about row 8. They're sort of on the way out the door, and they don't realize that the offense in their heart is causing them to draw back steadily. It's difficult when you're offended to be near people that you're offended with. And if you're offended with church or some aspect of church, people come into church, and it's almost like an expectation. They've got all these wonderful, beautiful people who live amazing lives. No, it is. It's full of broken people who've got dramas and traumas. And when you hear the stories, it doesn't all go away immediately. There's a journey to wholeness, a community you build love. There's got to be grace for offenses. And so offenses cause people to draw back. People become offended in all manner of ways, and it's possible to become offended with God. A third area that I've noticed, and I say this because I've had to walk through all three of these, is the area of disappointment, where we have expectation for certain things to happen and they don't happen. We have expectations for God to come through. We have expectations on people, and then they fail to meet that expectation, or they don't do what we expected, and we feel disappointment. In the season there, through the COVID, there were multiple causes of disappointment. Changed plans, the loss of relationships, all kinds of things that were taken away during that season. And I was just having a time with the Lord, and I said, Lord, I'm just feeling out of sorts. What is it that's causing this? Because the Holy Spirit will show you if there's something got in your heart that caused you to draw back. If you draw back from God, it'll affect your prayer life. It affects your passion. You become lukewarm and half-hearted, and you hear everyone. And like today, we're here to raise her, and she's going like this and getting everyone wound. I love all of that, by the way. But if you've drawn back, it annoys you enormously because you don't want to. There's signs we've drawn back. And so the Bible says, but David prayed a prayer, search my heart, O God. Show me if there's any wicked way in me, something that's gone wrong. And so I just said, Lord, just show me, is there something wrong? And he said, yes, disappointment. And I thought, I didn't even notice that. I better sit down and have a think about it. So I sat down and began to just write, what are the things that disappointed me? And I was surprised how many things there were and how close they were. And as I began to write them down, I became overwhelmed with the feeling of grief around the disappointments. And then the Lord said, you now need to let each one go. Each one has got a grief with it. He said, disappointments accumulate. Offenses also accumulate. Fears accumulate. In other words, if you don't resolve them quickly on the day they happen or pretty soon, they begin to build without you knowing it. You're not aware of it. And then he said they accumulate. And he said, secondly, he said, they cause your heart to grow cold and not to want to take any more risks. He said, they cause you to draw back from me because it feels like I'm the source of your disappointment. And then he says, the devil will manipulate your disappointments to take you out of the call of God and distract you. Because when disappointments come, distractions and substitutes follow soon after.
And I said, Lord, wow. I began to weep over this thing, gave them to the Lord. And then as I began to give myself back to prayer again, I could feel my spirit shift. I hadn't realized, I hadn't noticed, because we've learned over the years how to stand and how to hold on and grit, you know, go forward. And what I hadn't realized was sometimes our soul is damaged by what we've gone through. Things that happen in relationships, things that happen sometimes in church, things that sometimes happen that we're connected to people and they do things that are surprising and treacherous and betray us. Those things, you can't just say it didn't matter. You can't just say it wasn't anything. It affects your heart. And Christians are well known for hiding unresolved core pain in the heart. And what that does is it causes us slowly to draw back. Have you ever watched that in marriage? You see people, they come up together on the day they get married. Oh, I'm excited already. And they come down the aisle and it's just the joy and the love and they're looking at the way they're looking at one another. Then you see them a few years later. What the heck happened? They're kind of in two different worlds. Now something has caused them to draw back that needs to be brought to the light and resolved so that you maintain what is of high value in your life, the intimate friendship and connection. You can't ignore things that are causing you to draw back. You just notice it. Oh, you're not so positive. You're not so keen to connect. You're not going to engage with that anymore. You're standing a bit at a distance. There's lots of little subtle signs that you've drawn back. With God, the subtle signs are we lose our passion for God in prayer. We lose our sense of His presence because something else is filling our heart. We lose the desire to read the Word of God. We lose the desire to get into relationships and connect and participate and serve. And so drawing back can be slow, but it is deadly. Notice what God says, my soul has no pleasure. See, God wants to enjoy the relationship with you. It's not a burdensome thing of things you've got to do. He wants you just to maintain a love and an experience with Him. See, he wants to enjoy you, to enjoy talking with you, to come into your world, to surprise you in lots of little ways. And God is amazing how He can just surprise us and do things for us on our behalf as we're walking with Him. That's the joy. It's a relationship, not a duty. The moment it's turned to duty, you've drawn back. So we don't want to be in that place. We want to be fresh and having fresh encounters, fresh experiences, a fresh touch of God on our life. We pursue that. I want a fresh touch constantly. I want to enjoy His presence, have experiences. I pay money to get to places where I can have that kind of encounter. That makes sense? So he said, if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure. See? So one of the guys in the Bible that I like that withdrew was Elijah. Now, this is really encouraging that a mighty man of God that pulls fire down from heaven and kills 250 prophets of Baal, the very next couple of days, he's hiding out in a cave and he doesn't want to come out. What happened to him that got him from? He's out there and he's confronting sin. He's confronting the problems in the nation. And the next day, he's in a cave hiding out. What happened to him? It says and tells us in 1 Kings 19, it says, when Jezebel heard how he had made a stand and had resisted her desire to dominate and had pushed back and brought fire from heaven and killed the prophets of Baal, she said, I'm going to kill you. Now, she never succeeded in killing him. He never even met her. There's no record that he met her. What she did was she sent an ambassador, someone who was the channel for words to fill him with fear. There are many people like that are a mouthpiece for the spirit of fear, a mouthpiece for things that would cause anxiety. The media are notorious for it. That's how they make their money. So you've got to actually guard that you don't receive
the messenger of Jezebel something that is intimidating, is threatening, is manipulating or controlling, because it'll cause you to draw back and shut down inside. And when you draw back, the very authority that God gave you to stand up and fulfill your destiny then begins to be used against you. For a Christian, there is no place to draw back without serious spiritual consequences for you and your family. There's only one place I can be. The safest place in the world is to be in what God called me to be doing, to remain steadfast and not draw back. It says, when Elijah saw that, in other words, he saw what was up against him, the Bible tells us very clearly, he fled. He left his assignment. He drew back. God had called him to bring transformation to the nation, called him to be a mouthpiece, called him to be a witness, but because he felt afraid, he turned in on himself, lost his perspective of God, and began to draw back. Now, when he drew back, he didn't just draw back a little bit, he really drew back. And you look at it, you can see the progression. Intimidation, loss of perspective, withdrawing from what God called him to do and to be, and then he came alone. He isolated himself, he left his servant, he began to get alone. Now, everyone knows in New Zealand, sheep country, that when sheep are sick, they isolate. When people aren't well internally, they draw back from relationship. And so he drew back. Now, the thing is, it didn't just stop there. He didn't just go alone. Now, we can go alone. We just withdraw from contact, don't answer the phone. We just get in our own little world. We get media, watch movie, whatever it is you do. But you've isolated from meaningful connection, which keeps you vibrant. And then when that happened, he sat down. He became passive. I see many, many Christians that are passive. When they pray, there's no fire in their prayer. There's no stir in their spirit. It's like there's almost no energy from within. They've drawn back. We need to get that back in our spirit again. And then when he became passive, to be passive means you lose the will to fight and you just accept what's happening because what can I do? We can never be like that. That's the place of discouragement and defeat. And then he became depressed. Now, a lot of people are depressed is because they've experienced something that caused them to draw back. You have to face stuff and resolve it with the help of God. You can't just let it sit on you. It's not static. It keeps working in your life, eroding your life. And then he began to say, here's his prayer. What the mighty man of God. One day, fire from heaven. That's awesome. Next day, God, take me now. I just do me a favor and get me out of here. What happened to him? There was a progression of drawing back. And when he drew back, he lost his power and then eventually his will to engage in life. And then you find him, next thing you find him, he's in a cave, hiding out in a cave, and God comes to the cave. Now, everyone knows if you're in a cave, you don't stay in a cave in an earthquake. That's the worst place you could be. Think about it. You're in a cave, and then the whole of the mountain is shaking. That's the last place you want to be. The dirt will be falling off the roof of the cave. The cave could just seal you in like that. But he's not coming out. There's a wind, there's a fire, there's an earthquake, not coming out. And God's word to him is, Elijah, what are you doing here? And I believe that's for many people tonight. God sees where you're hiding. He sees where you've drawn back. And his word is, what are you doing here? In that place of defeat, of being drawn back, of being overcome, of being afraid, of being offended, of being disappointed, discouraged, in sin, in compromise. What are you doing there? Now, God knows what they're doing there. He's getting them to think. When God asks you a question, he just wants you to think more deeply. What God is saying is,
I have not changed in my purpose for your life. I raised you up to be a voice in the nation to advance my kingdom. I need you to be my voice. And God calls him out. I don't know what God said to get him out of the cave. Must have been some really kind and words that touched his heart. He came out and God recommissioned him, gave him a fresh assignment that would involve raising up others to do what he had done. There are some here tonight that you've drawn back. You need to ask the Lord, when did I draw back? What happened that caused me to draw back from trusting you and being passionate and being committed and serving you and enjoying my walk with you and fulfilling my assignment? What caused me to draw back in my marriage? What caused me to draw back from my family? What caused me to draw back from serving? What caused me to draw back from dreaming and doing new things? What caused me to just lose hope in life? Ask God to show you what it is. What caused you to draw back? And then do something about it. Do something about it. Let me just give you a few things tonight you can do. A few things. Here's a scripture I loved. It became a very powerful scripture for me in Psalm 46, verse 1. God, the Almighty One, is our refuge, the place you run when life is in turmoil and you're struggling. It says, God is our refuge. God is our strength. He imparts to our spirit the ability to overcome anything that comes in our way. There is nothing comes your way that God will not help you to step up and walk through that and come out strong on the other side. And not only that, God is a very present help in trouble. God is with you to help you. But when we give in to offense, give in to discouragement, give in to fear, we lose the sense of his presence. And that's what we want to restore tonight. I was reading in Hebrews 11, felt the Lord quicken a verse tonight, Hebrews 11, round about 30, verse 34, and it talks about all the men of faith. And this is what it says. Out of weakness, they became strong. They felt weak, they felt overwhelmed, but by holding on to God, God imparted strength. It said they became mighty in the battle. Now, you don't feel mighty before you go to the battle. You don't feel mighty when you're entering into the problems of life. But when you engage them and trust God, then it says they became mighty in the battle. That word is enduamai, to be endued with supernatural strength when they engage the enemy. And this is the thing. We wait until we feel everything is working right. We wait until things seem to get out right. We hold back when God wants you to advance and engage. We need to advance and engage. Those that out of weakness, they became strong, they became valiant in the battle, and turned back the armies of the enemy. So when did you draw back? What caused you to draw back? Fear, offense, disappointment, abuse, some other thing. It doesn't really matter what it was. What counts is you now face it and engage with God and break through that thing. That's what counts. Here's how you would move out of where you are. I don't ever believe we can move out of where we are unless we get revelation. I drew back because something changed me. Something I experienced impacted my life and I wasn't aware of it, but now here I am, no passion, no fire, no flow of God, unaware of his presence. I have drawn back. When you recognize you're not the same and you've drawn back, you're now ready to do something. You need to then engage again with Jesus. Because it's by faith they were made strong. It's by their reconnection with God, they become strong in the battle.
See? Reconnect with God. If it's fear, face what intimidated you and then move to bring resolution to it, either by confronting it and facing the thing or by boundarying it so it no longer affects you. Usually it's in the area of relationships and people and intimidating people, controlling people, but you need to believe God to get you through that. Don't yield to controlling people. Don't yield to abuse. Don't yield to intimidation. Don't yield to manipulation. Don't yield to things that make you afraid. Feel the fear, come into God, strengthen yourself in the Lord, and face that thing. Go out to battle. It says, Goliath stood in front of David and said, I'm going to take your head off and feed you to the birds. And he said, this provoked him. It's provoked him. He said, listen to me. I'm going to come against you, not in the strength of the arm of flesh, but in the power and name of the Lord God Almighty. I will take your head off. I will give your body to the birds. I will have a victory over you. And he ran towards them. See, we tend to run away. You do it, Pastor John. No. It's time. I better say this carefully. It's time you got strength back inside you. Gruesome, you know, as they say. We have to let God strengthen us, strengthen ourselves in him. Then whatever it is, face your fear. If there's an offense, call it what it is. I'm offended. I need to repent and forgive and release it and bless that person. Move on. Don't accumulate your offenses. Don't let what someone else did cause you to stop and draw back and change your life. Why would you give them that power? Release, forgive, and move on. Forget them. Forget what happened. Move forward. If you got disappointed, grieve your disappointment. Bring it to the Lord. Tell him what it is. Tell him how it's affected you. Weep over it. Release it. And set your hope in God again. Start to dream again. Start to set some new direction. Having done all the Bible says, stand, don't draw back. There are some things we have to do, but often that doesn't mean it all changes straight away. It says you do everything you can do, and then you just don't withdraw. That means you stand. You hold your ground. And the language that's used would be to picture something like this. Two wrestlers in a ring, and they're in a hold one with the other, and neither one is gaining the advantage, but neither one is quitting. And God's saying, this is what it's like sometimes with spiritual pressure in our life. You just got to engage it, push back on it, and hold your ground. Having done everything you can do, then just stand and hold confidence in God until it breaks and falls. I've seen it in so many ways in our own life that if we just would not quit, not withdraw, God would give us the victory. You need a victory and breakthrough tonight. See? So why don't we just ask the Lord, what is it? What is it that caused me to draw back? What's come around my life? This is a night of ministry. This is a night when God's presence is here to help you. Amen? Why don't we just begin to stand and pray in the Spirit right now? I'm going to call up some areas for prayer. I believe God's wanting to bring some breakthroughs in people.